Radio Prague News.
The right-of-center Civic Democratic Party has seen the first day of its two-day party congress in the Czech capital. President Václav Klaus has indirectly called on the party to compromise towards forming a viable government. Cross-country skier Kateřina Neumannová has earned a dominant victory in the 10-kilometer freestyle on the World Cup circuit in Sweden. The right-of-center Civic Democratic Party has seen the first day of its two-day party congress in the Czech capital. Prime Minister-designate Mirek Topolánek, the party's chairman, is looking for a strong mandate from his party towards putting together an interim coalition government, one that would include the four non-communist parties, including the Christian and Social Democrats and the Greens. Mr. Topolánek stated on Saturday that if the idea did not get strong backing, he would again propose the current outgoing cabinet to the president, despite the fact that it failed in an earlier confidence vote. Politicians, including Mr. Topolánek, now twice prime minister-designate, have been trying to form a viable government since elections ended in stalemate in June. And in related news, the Civic Democratic Party's honorary chairman, President Václav Klaus, has indirectly expressed support for a compromise solution to the stalemate, suggesting on Saturday that it was time the Civic Democratic Party, which dominated elections in 2006, translated election results into a workable government. Party chairman Mirek Topolánek may still face criticism from some at the weekend. Some Civic Democrat delegates in the minority are upset that he dropped an earlier demand for early elections in 2007. The acting chairman of the Christian Democratic Party, Jan Kasal, has reiterated that his party will not support or tolerate any Social Democrat government leaning on support from the communists. On Saturday, speaking as a guest at the Civic Democrats Party Congress, Mr. Kasal said the possibility of such a government was, quote, a real danger. Politicians are now in a second round of talks on forming a new government, but if the new cabinet does not find support in a confidence vote, it would likely mean that the Social Democrats, who came in second in the national election, would get the third and final chance. Now, a quick look at the sport. Cross-country skier Kateřina Neumannová has crushed a field of world-class racers, and that in the 10-kilometer freestyle on the World Cup circuit in Gällivare, Sweden. Neumannová, a gold medalist from this year's Winter Olympics, finished far ahead of Estonia's Kristina Šmigun, 24.19 seconds behind. The 10-kilometer freestyle is said to be Neumannová's favorite race. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the news. This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Jan Wellinger. Up next, Daniela Lazarová looks at some of this week's quirkiest stories that have been making the headlines, including how politicians at the time of the recent elections made some very unwise bets. That's in Magazine. And then we continue with Daniela in Soundcheck, our new show where you can learn Czech phrases and idioms through song lyrics. Today, she focuses on one of my favorite songs by Jaromír Nohavica. And then you'll have another chance to hear our interview program, our guest this week, filmmaker Linda Jablonská, whose newest project, a film about the lives of young conservatives and communists in the Czech Republic, has really taken off. Here, though, is Daniela with Magazine.
The Senate and local elections have had some belated repercussions. Several politicians made very unwise bets about the outcome and have now had to pay up. The deputy chairman of the Social Democratic Party, Zdeněk Škromach, bet his moustache that the Social Democrats would not win the mayor's seat in Brno, and he lost the bet. The Social Democrat mayor, Roman Onderka, himself set about shaving it off, while photographers and TV crews had a field day. After 33 years with a moustache, Mr. Škromach clearly had a problem relating to his face in the mirror. Such outrageous bets are not unusual among Czech politicians. Communist Party deputy Milena Vostra also lost a bet on the elections and had to deliver the post all day to people in her constituency. The former transport minister Milan Szymanowski has laid a bet that if the Prague to Ostrava highway is not finished by 2008, he would cover the distance on foot. It's 80 kilometers from Prague to Ostrava, and Mr. Szymanowski says he trains daily, walking and swimming to keep fit. Possibly the worst bet of all was that made a few years ago by the head of the Pensioners' Party, Eduard Kremlička, who said that if his party failed to cross the 5% margin needed to win seats in the lower house, he would eat a bug. His party failed and Mr. Kremlička was forced to chew on a big black bug as TV cameras rolled. One really would have thought that after that, politicians would be more careful. As of this week, Czechs can download music legally for a certain fee at two new internet servers. But what are the chances of people paying for music when they can get it for free? An opinion poll conducted at several Prague schools shows that teenagers find the idea laughable. Downloading music and burning CDs is something 95% of teenagers do on a daily basis, and they see no reason at all why they should pay for it or feel guilty about not paying. Everyone does it, so why shouldn't we, is the most frequent argument used. Another is that they find CDs to be generally overpriced. Parliament has now tightened the country's anti-piracy laws, but that should be more effective with regard to firms than individuals. As one teenager put it, how will they find out? Petr Bartak of the company which set up one of the internet shops says he is aware of the fact that they're not likely to attract the masses. We expect to be successful in marginal genres, but much will depend on accessibility and easy payment, he said. The portal will cooperate with all the big music agencies as well as small companies. It presently offers over 200,000 songs and expects to have double that number in the near future. Czechs are well-known fans of plastic bags. They are practical, light, and fit into your pocket when they're not needed. But you may not know that what preceded the plastic bag was a Czech invention, the so-called net bag or string bag. The net bag performed the very same function for decades before the plastic bag appeared on the market. It first made its appearance in the town of Žďár nad Sázavou in the late 1920s, where a local businessman, Vavřín Krčil, had a good business going making nets for elaborate hairdos. One day he decided to add two handles, and the net bag was created. For close to half a century, people used the net bag on a daily basis. Every family had several of them, and they were used mainly for shopping, but also for transport from the market at Christmas time. It was the symbol of the communist days, but it also spread to other countries in Europe, including Western Europe. When plastic bags appeared, the production of net bags stopped, and Czechs have never looked back. They jokingly call themselves the Club of Government Veterans. And if anyone is enjoying the twists and turns of the country's political crisis, they are. The ministers of the Social Democrat government, led by Miloš Zeman, which was in office from 1998 to 2002, have annual get-togethers in the country home of the former agriculture minister Jan Fensel. To quote ex-Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, they meet to remember the good old days and discuss how their successors are faring over Becherovka, beer, roast pork and tripe soup. We're talking about the good old days when it took 3 weeks to form a government, the former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman told reporters at their meeting last week. This is a meeting of ministers of the first and so far only successful government to rule since 1989, the only government which governed for a full term and left untainted by scandal, Mr. Fensel added. The mood was upbeat, and the only faces missing around the table were those of Vladimir Spidla and Stanislav Gross, both of whom later went on to become prime ministers and who fell out of favor with a former party boss, Miloš Zeman. The number of British tourists to Prague has doubled to more than 650,000 since 2002, and not all of them are giving their home country a good name in the Czech Republic. Stag parties which head for Prague on low-cost airlines looking for a good time are often drunk and rowdy and an easy target for pickpockets. Tired of dealing with complaints and being woken up in the middle of the night by disoriented tourists who have forgotten what hotel they're staying in, the British Embassy has now launched a campaign appealing for more common sense and less excess. Come and have fun, but be responsible is the gist of the message, which will appear on billboards and bear mats around Prague. The initiative is allegedly part of a wider campaign targeting 26 countries where Her Majesty's citizens have a history of being accident-prone or a reputation as boorish tourists.
Back to those politicians making risky bets. I think I'd rather eat that bug than walk a full 80 kilometers. How about you? It can't be that bad, can it? Daniela Lazarová with Magazine, and she continues with our third edition of Soundcheck here on Radio Prague.
A co jsem si nadrobil, si i vypil. Až zítra ráno v pět poručík řekne pal, škoda bude těch let. Kdy jsem tě nelíbal, ještě slunci zamávám a potom líto přijde mi, že tě lásko nechávám.
You're listening to Soundcheck, Radio Prague's new Czech language series in which you can learn useful phrases through song lyrics. Today's phrase is from a song called Tomorrow Morning at 5 by one of the most popular Czech singers and songwriters, Jaromír Nohavica.
Co jsem si nadrobil, si i vypil.
And today's phrase is co jsem si nadrobil, to si i vypiju, which translates as what I have made for myself, I will drink to the last drop. The closest English equivalent is as you make your bed, you must lie on it, which also refers to accepting responsibility for one's actions or living with the consequences of one's decisions. Listen to the phrase once again.
Co jsem si nadrobil, si i vypil.
Czechs use both the eat and drink versions that are evocative of swallowing the bitter consequences of one's actions. Co jsem si nadrobil, to si i sním. What I have made for myself, I will eat. Or co jsem si nadrobil, to si i vypiju. What I have made for myself, I will drink. You will find that to si vypiješ, you will drink this up, is also used as a threat when you want to warn someone that they will be held fully responsible for their actions. Have another listen to the original phrase.
A co jsem si nadrobil, si i vypil. až zítra ráno v pět.
In this case, the words are said by a man who has been sentenced to death. He is to be executed at dawn and says, I will drink to the bitter end what I have made for myself, adding, I have no regrets for the way I lived. I'm prepared to pay the price. Well, and that's it for today's edition of Soundcheck. We'll be back next week with a new expression and a new song. Personally, I hope you don't get to use this one much on your own account. It usually spells trouble. You will, of course, find today's lesson on our webpage at www.radio.cz. Until next time, goodbye. Naschledanou.
Až zítra ráno v pět přijde ke mně kněz. Řeknu mu, že se splet, že mě se nechce do nebes, že žil jsem, jak jsem žil, a stejně tak i dožiju. A co jsem si nadrobil, to si i vypiju. A co jsem si nadrobil, si i vypiju.
Soundcheck here on Radio Prague, and that was with Daniela Lazarová. It's now time for another chance to hear our interview program, One on One. This week, my guest was young documentary filmmaker Linda Jablonská, who has made a splash on the Czech scene with Left, Right, Forward, a new documentary about the behind-the-scenes lives of two curious groups on the Czech political spectrum, the Young Conservatives and the Young Communists. The film is extremely engaging and at times also very funny. Throughout, Jablonská maps the routines and events of both groups, from charity balls to day trips to demonstrations, and it's no surprise the feature film took the better part of a year to complete. And the first thing I asked Linda was if she preferred filming with one of the groups.
Well, shooting the Young Communists definitely was kind of more interesting, considering the visual part, like the red flags, the Stalin and Lenin portraits and whatever. And also, like, the Young Communists for us are something like really rare. The Young Conservatives are quite, they're not normal, not at all, but they're definitely a bit more closer to us or to our thinking. So it was more interesting shooting with the Young Communists, definitely.
What surprised you about the Young Communists? I was thinking in terms of how they understand the impact of communism on Czechoslovakia in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are about the same age as me, so a bit younger. So what I remember, I don't remember anything from the, well, very little. And they don't remember anything because they were like 5 or 4 when the revolution came. So that's quite interesting to actually see how they idealize the, for example, the 70s. That's quite unusual, I think, within young Czech people. They want to live in the 70s, which is really rare.
It wasn't the best of times for a lot of people, so I find it strange that somebody would idealize
it. No, it definitely wasn't. It was such a shitty time, actually. They think, well, what they think is that everybody had work. Everybody have to work, actually. So there were no homeless. There were no disabled people. There were no, I don't know what. They just think that everybody were happy, fine, within their Eastern Bloc. And they are against capitalism, so they hate that somebody who know how to make money have the money, and the other who doesn't know how to make money doesn't have the money. They want everyone to have equal. So that's why they idealized this regime. But it wasn't like this, but I think so.
If we're talking about ideals, how do the Young Conservatives compare? What are their ideals?
Well, they don't want to pay any taxes. they really look up to the United States. They look up to George Bush. And they just don't have these social feelings. So they think that everyone should work for himself, make his money, and they just don't want the state to have an influence of where the money goes.
Mm-hmm. And how important is, for example, the figure of the Czech president, Václav Klaus?
Hmm. Václav Klaus for them is a big idol. They really look up to him, and even before when he was the head of the Rightish Party, and they actually have his portrait in their houses, in their rooms, you know, which is quite interesting because we used to put the portraits of the presidents up to every room or classes, but we don't do it anymore. So that's quite funny. I haven't seen it anywhere else, but we really were in like 3 or 4 rooms of young conservatives, and there was Václav Klaus in every single room, and they read his books, and when the phone rings, they have Václav Klaus speaking, like the voice of him, of his, which
the
is
the ringtone.
Yeah, the ringtone. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Now, trust is obviously important. Mm-hmm. How did you go about getting the two different groups, the people in them, to trust you?
Well, definitely, it was a lot of work. I went to their meetings before we start shooting without the camera, just me. I kind of become friendly to them. I never lied to them. I never said I followed their ideas, but I was friendly. I didn't argue with them. Because I knew that it doesn't make sense, and if I start arguing with them, I wouldn't shoot anything. So we were kind of like, we were friendly, and I can't say that I made it in purpose, that they are not my friends. Well, they are not my friends, like close friends. But since I try to understand why they actually are young communists, and since I think I found out why they have entered the organization and so on, and I found out that might be their parents or might be whatever, so I kind of understand them. Also, the young conservatives and the young communists, they want to kind of represent them, and they want to be in the media. So that's why they were open.
It struck me that taken together, both groups, to a certain degree, are misfits. There's the young communist, 17 years old, and there's the scene in the film where he berates a trio of young or of teenage girls. And my own reaction was, well, he's 17, he should probably be trying to pick up one of these girls instead of complaining that they don't know enough about a Russian hero supposedly died for their freedom. What are your feelings? Are they misfits?
I think that's why they are young communists. I think they want to be misfits because they feel good in it. Basically, they are in opposition, and that's what they like, to be in the opposition. Like they say, everybody hates us, but they actually, when they say it, they like it.
It seems like there's also some kind of security within belonging to some kind of group.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's a very closed group. They have the relationships within the organization. You know, they go out together, they go to weekend houses, whatever. I think basically one of the reasons why somebody enters the organization is also because he might not have found any good friends anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now, shortly before your film was released, the Interior Ministry effected a ban on the Young Communist Association for backing some policies that they say are unconstitutional. What are your feelings about the ban?
I don't really think it matters. I think they will gather anyway, you know, and they're still functioning, and they will go to trial, and they want to go to European trial as well. So it can take 1 year or maybe more, you know, and nothing will happen in between. I think it was a political act before the elections, that's for sure. It was just like a few days before the elections. But I think why they actually did this, I would say, well, because of the Stalin T-shirt, because of all the symbols and what they say.
Mm-hmm. Young Hunza, the 17-year-old, actually has a Stalin T-shirt on for much of the movie. What is sexy about Stalin to them?
What's about Stalin? Well, Stalin is a hero for them, for some of them. It's not for all of them. And I also think it's because they kind of feel as special when they say Stalin is a good person. Nobody says this, you know, but them. Even the old communists from Czech Communist Party, they don't say this, never. So, but what's sexy about Stalin? Well, they think he was the one who killed Nazism. He was the one who won the war, basically. And the fact that there were millions of people dying, it's kind of, well, that was the time, you know, that's the time, that how it went. Yeah. So that was the need, that, well, there had to be some people killed to win the war, I guess, or to win whatever.
Have you had feedback from either group, from the young conservatives or from the communists?
Yeah, they saw the film actually, like, the first ones, because I wanted to be fair, so I showed it to them. Some of them really liked it. They were like, totally, oh, wow, that's such a cool film. And they were laughing when the other group was on, so they were laughing at it. But the thing is, what happened then, that, like, when they were watching it in their rooms alone, they were okay. But then we showed it in the festival in Jihlava, and everybody was, like, laughing like hell. And then they went there, and they kind of realized, you know, like, they're laughing at us. Like, they didn't knew what's going to happen, and I didn't knew what's going to happen, you know. They didn't, but now, right now, they're famous.
Do you see any of them going beyond being, say, just foot soldiers, politicians at a local level, to actually making it higher up in politics? Can we rule it out?
I'm not sure. I can't say. But I kind of commented on it. I kind of chose the people because I thought they could make it up. I'm not sure about the communists, but they are actually working on the basic level, on the like lower politics. They're actually in it. But the higher politics, I'm not sure, but I think so. Yeah, some of them we can maybe within 10 years we will see these youngsters in higher positions.
Linda Jablonska was my guest in One-on-One, and that takes us just about to the end of today's program. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you'd like to get more information about the show or any of the other programs here at Radio Prague, don't forget we archive just about everything that we do in sound as well as text. So you can look it all up, from Czech history to Czech science to Czech books and much more at our website. And the address? Well, that is, of course, www.radio.cz. For now, though, it's thanks for listening and goodbye from me, Jan Wellinger, here in the Czech capital.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Onde Courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.